Only one of the 10 plays in the two-time Pulitzer Prize winner August Wilson's masterful The American Century Cycle has never been seen on Broadway until now. Last night, Jitney, August Wilson's 1979 two-act play about an unlicensed cab station, officially opened at the Manhattan Theater Club at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater.
Call, sir.
Let's head to Broadway now and meet one of the stars of the show, Harvey Blanks, who portrays the numbers guy, Sheely.
Did you ever wear a suit like you wear on stage, these wonderful suits? Describe them for our audience.
Well, you know, my dad did. He didn't wear the leather suede, certainly. A lot of polyester in those days, as you know. People, as you probably wore some of those suits.
I didn't look as good as you do in Jitney on stage here and at the Manhattan Theater Club at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater. Now, just in previews, you're already getting standing ovations. You've done all 10 August Wilson plays, with 9 of the 10 being set in Pittsburgh, including this one. This is in the Hill District of Pittsburgh in the 1970s, 1977. What has it meant for you to be a part of the August Wilson legacy?
A great deal, especially now in retrospect. When you're doing it, you're part of history, and sometimes you just look at it and ho-hum, life goes on. But when you look back at what has been accomplished, especially through Israel Hicks, I did 9 of the 10 with fabulous director Israel Hicks out of, did you know Israel?
I did not.
Okay. Out of the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. He was one of the associate artistic directors there. And it just means so much to me to have the honor to have done 10 of his shows, all 10, yeah.
How did you prepare for this role? And tell us a little bit more about Sheely.
You know, first of all, his speech patterns are just so similar to, not so similar, I stole them from my uncles, and the way they spoke. I'm first generation born north. I was born in Chicago, born and raised in Chicago, but they are from Mississippi. And it was just the music and their language when I was growing up, and I would hear them laughing and crying and arguing and protesting, and the sound was just so unique, and it used to excite me when one of the uncles would come in or get to arguing with some of the other relatives, and it was just about politics. It could have been anything. But it was always exciting to me because they were so passionate and they were into it and they were so descriptive and they put their bodies into it. And it was a show in itself when I was growing up. So I used them as my character studies in all of the pieces that I've ever done in August Wilson.
Has this provided you with any bigger challenge than any other of the characters that you've done?
This time around, Ruben has been able to take time with us, good rehearsal period where you can, and that's just one of the wonderful things to be an actor this time. And in this piece is we've got time to talk about it and talk about what things mean and talk about all the possibilities, which way something can go, and just flesh out the historical aspects of it, and so it's more meaningful because I've had time to sit on it and study it more, and I think he's a little richer than the last time I played Sheely.
What a time for people to really get a sense of August Wilson and his work, because Fences came out at Christmas time with Denzel Washington on the screen, and now on stage, Jitney here on Broadway. What are we learning about August Wilson through the film Fences and through Jitney on Broadway that maybe people didn't know?
Well, just how brilliant he is. You know, that word is bantied around so much. Brilliant and genius and, you know, and sometimes it's in the eye of the beholder. But when you get an author, a writer, a playwright like he is, that writes about the uniqueness in the black experience, but to be able to have the ability to not be selfish with that writing and to have it be able to come across to other cultures the same way. I've had people come up to me and say, man, that's my uncle, who were either white or Hispanic or Irish, you know, some other color or nationality, culture. And this play reminds me of my family. And so that takes a certain richness. He's an American writer. He's an African-American writer. But he's a writer that enhances our whole human experience because we are under the skin. We're all the same, man. You know, so that's my belief. That's my personal belief. So we make a mountain out of a molehill when we talk about our differences, which is cool. You know, we can celebrate those too. But we're so much the same in many aspects.
Ruben says the same about it's about the human experience, not about the African-American experience when it comes to these plays. And he says, you know, August Wilson makes you laugh and makes you cry. Shelley makes us laugh.
Yes, I'm sort of like the mechanicals in Shakespeare. You know, I come in and I drop in. I'm dropped in. I can say that. I'm dropped in on something that is heretofore probably very serious and whatnot. And I come in out of nowhere and I lighten the joint up for a minute. And then I leave and it goes back to being normal doing and goings on in the place. And then I come back again. So and that's pretty cool because people have told me that we're just sitting there waiting for you to come back in to see what kind of information you're bringing with you this time or what your antics are this time. So it's fun to have that type of part in the play where it's essentially you're bringing in laughter, you know, probably after a very serious moment in time.
Yeah. And it's so timely, as you mentioned, the laughter here. Harvey Blanks plays Shelley in August Wilson's Jitney here on Broadway, running at the Manhattan Theater Club at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater. Do you feel that? Do you feel when you come in and you drop in, as you say, do you feel that audience with you, that they are just ready for you? You're feeling it, aren't you?
I really do. And I can't say enough about the our costumes and Tony's wonderful invention relative to the types of suits she's got me in. But I come in sometimes, like if we have a Caucasian-heavy audience, they don't know what to expect. They see this guy come in, and there's a little buzz. But when I start talking and start telling the story, they get right on board, man. So it's they're laughing at the same places, and they're reacting in the same way an African-American heavy audience would react. You know the best audiences are a mixture, a heavy mixture of both, because they give each other permission to laugh at certain places, you know. And then when you have that, you have a raucous house, man. It's rocking and rolling in there sometimes.
What was a standing ovation in previews the night I went? I can only imagine what it's going to be like in the regular run. But another thing that when you guys are on stage, what a great ensemble it is, a great ensemble cast. Have you gotten even closer to each other? Because this is a powerful show. This is a show about emotions. This is a show, as you mentioned, everybody can relate to. You guys on stage. Has it become a family already?
Well, some of these actors I've worked, well, every all save one that I've worked with time and again. And yeah, we're very close. There are no egos. Well, with Ruben, you have to leave the egos at the door, seriously. So, and everyone knows that. And, you know, to have been working with him for the last 6, 7, 8 years, as some of the other actors have, we eat together. We visit each other when we're not working. We, you know, it is a family kind of a situation. So, and I feel very comfortable out there on the boards with those guys.
What's the best thing Ruben's ever said to you about your craft?
What Ruben says so much. He's, you know for yourself. He's a walking history encyclopedia. The worst thing you could do next to this is die, because you have to. You're going out there every night, and it's that serious. It's this or death. I don't know. I feel that he takes it. People misunderstand his passion. I don't think that I've ever met anyone as passionate about what they do, not just in theater, but in any discipline. So when he says you got to do it to death, that's he means that. And when he goes, when you hit that board, it's no jiving around. And he's very, very serious. It's time, you know, he likes to joke. He makes it very pleasant as well, because he came from people who don't know Ruben's background. He came from very, very humble beginnings, to say the least. But that's about it. You have to do it to death.
Yeah. He talks about, you know, the music of it, the poetry, the timing, and because I guess you guys have worked before with each other, that's what makes that timing so special.
The city's fixing to board up the place come the first of the month. They're going to tear it down. They're going to tear the whole block down.
They're going to tear the whole neighborhood down.
They're supposed to build some houses. That's what they need to do.
They're supposed to build a new hospital down on Logan Street. Mm-hmm. They've been talking about that for the longest while. They're supposed to build another part to the Irene Kaufman Settlement House to replace the part they tore down. They supposed to build some houses down on Dinwiddie.
Turnbull's right. They supposed to build some houses, but you ain't going to see that. You ain't going to see nothing but the tear down.
Your character is one of the few non-cab drivers in the show. Right. Tell us a little bit more about Sheely. He runs the numbers. Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I do. I come in. I love being in the space with all those guys, because they're older, they're wiser, we can kick it around. And I do good business in there. So, and occasionally somebody will hit a humble number, you know, and get paid. And I'm bringing happiness and hope and uplifting of people's lives. So when I walk into a room, everybody's hopeful that day will be the best day of their lives when I walk in. So. Yeah, it's a gas going in there, and number one, I can take care of business when I go in there, because they have a phone, and this is before cell phones. So, you know, and I do have a pocket full of dimes, but I'd rather have people get in touch with me there. That's like a home base, you know. I am a happy-go-lucky guy, and I love people, and I love Becker, the owner of the cab station, because he's a regular kind of an old-fashioned guy. And Becker reminds me a lot of my dad, personally, Harvey's father. You know, you got all these guys, and they're striving, and they're trying to survive, and he owns his own business. You know, he's not making millions, but Becker owns his own business. And the rest of the guys are there to try and make a living. So you don't have anybody selling drugs or out there doing all sorts of illicit things. These are hardworking individuals seeking the American dream.
going on stage and having someone who portrays someone that reminds you of your father has to be pretty powerful for you inside and night after night.
Yeah. As I said before, those polyester suits, man, my dad had a green one just like the one I wear. They say, people always tell me how much I favor my dad. I'm in the dressing room just last week, and I'm getting dressed, and I look in the mirror, and there is my father. I'm standing up looking at my dad.
Wow.
My face, the way my dad stands, the way he moved, I looked, I said, there is my dad. And I remember that suit. That polyester green suit, same kind of suit. So, yeah, you know, it's all of the guys reminds me of somebody in my family.
Well, this show reminds me of home. As I told you before we started, I'm from outside of Pittsburgh. So when you make the references in the show to Monroeville and Penn Hills, I went to high school 15 minutes away from Monroeville at Franklin Regional High School. So we played Penn Hills in football and basketball, and brings back all those memories. Just hearing the name, bring back, you know, Tommy Flynn, who played for the University of Pittsburgh. I played basketball against him, and Frelich was ahead of me at Penn Hills. He went on to have a great professional career. So that, and of course, you mentioned the Steelers, and that's all you need to do right now is to mention the Steelers. And I love the show to begin with. So to me, I'm learning more and more about August Wilson, especially over the past couple of years, and what a sense of pride it is to know that he's getting his due right now. For you, you've done so much more than this. But I want to go back into the history books. You were a swing back at the University of Washington. A speedy is how they've referred to you.
Yeah, I could run.
You could run. And your coach at that time, Jim Owens, you first thought he was a terrific guy.
Yes.
It didn't turn out so good. Can you give us a quick synopsis of what happened?
Well, it was during, you know, that really pivotal time, the latter 60s, when more and more black folks started standing up and not just standing up, going to school. When I first got to the University of Washington, my first year there, I could count. There were about four of us on the team, and as a couple of years later, there were 18. That was major. But the problem is, they at least at the university I played at, and the people that ran it, the football team that is, they had never had to deal with African Americans in that number, actually. And so it was racial strife on the team. And somehow I was pegged as the leader of the group. I spoke out a lot. So basically they felt that I was a black militant. I wasn't. I wasn't a Panther or anything like that, but I'd speak up, and there were a couple of other guys on the team who were prolific speakers as well. And so, you know, they pinpointed us, and at some particular point, one particular point, they kicked us off the team. I had a pro career looming ahead of me, and from that point, it was all down here because you're whitewashed at that particular time in society. The powers that be stuck together, you know. So there was no way that I was going to become a pro.
And unfortunately, we're running out of time, but you showed everybody that you didn't need the football field to become a star. You are one of the stars here and have been for a long time, Harvey Blanks. Havard Blanks, right, is your real name?
Right, correct. H-A-V as in Victor, A-R-D.
What a pleasure to have you here on the show, and just a tremendous performance as Sheely and Jitney. We look forward to the run. Just the best of everything, and it is indeed an honor to be here with you.
Well, you know, it's an honor because you – are such a treasure to people. Don't realize you go everywhere, man. You're after the story. You're what I would call a real musicola journalist because you travel to get the stories and to find out what's making it tick for people in all cultures. So thank you.
Thanks, Harry.